Hello and welcome to Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll. I am Crash and Burn, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
And apparently with recent news, not only has Atlantic Canada frozen over, but hell has too, because apparently there is hope for DC.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right. I am overjoyed that we have finally moved past the long, laborious death of the Snyderverse, the previous iteration of how DC used to be run, and we are now finally moving forward into the Gunoverse? What the hell do you call? I mean, I understand they want to be called DC Universe or whatever, DCU, but it's like,
yeah.
You don't get to pick your own. Like, Marvel didn't call theirs the MCU. In fact, they apparently internally resisted it for years, but the fans call it the MCU, so you have to roll with the punches.
Well, I mean, it's officially the DCU, so we might as well stick with that. I mean, it's already an improvement because the DCEU only happened because, I believe, of a news article that came out after the Comic-Con where they announced the first slate of the Snyderverse films.
Yeah, and as well, the DC did not call theirs the DCEU internally. You know, it was an article that then got picked up, and that's how the fandom described it. Depending on how close or distant you wanted to be from the original creative vision, but there is hope. There is joy. There is a lot of hints by a very large, very well-read comic book nerd as to, if not the explicit direction, then the tone and approach, and all of it is gold stars. Gold stars all around. Half of it is Grant Morrison. It's, you might as well have just been like, have you heard the good word about Grant Morrison? They will change your life and then make you cry. Oh, cry. You ever read We Three? Don't.
Good, because I haven't.
Good. It's terrific. I believe it's award winning. And then you get to the end and you're like, oh, cool. I'm gonna go kill myself and it's gonna be great.
Oh.
It's better than what I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Now, like, personally though, with this announcement, I am not all Gun will save us, yada, yada, yada. Because, I mean, when it comes to DC's films, once bitten, twice shy.
Yes.
But. I'm going to give his stuff way more of a chance than what we've gotten so far.
Exactly, because everything that he has rolled out for DC has been good. Like, it's not that, like, yeah. It's not like, and I'm loathe to say this, but like Bryan Singer, where it's like, that one was all right, we'll give you another chance. That one was a little better, we'll give you another chance. Oh, you want to do something else? Okay, we'll give you another chance. And it's, you know, slowly working either towards a little bit better or a little bit crappier. James Gunn always seems to approach every like script, every IP, every story, whatever, with this really, really invigorated, energy, where he has to outdo himself. He's always trying to push. And once upon a time, that meant being gorier, more grotesque, having Elliot Page's face explode without warning.
Yeah.
Watch Super until you almost puke, because I almost puked. there's no warning. He's now approached that to emotional storytelling and absurdist humor. As, of course, anyone who has seen the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 understands. He knows how to hurt you, and I think he enjoys it. I think, like, deep down, I believe the man is a sadist, but he has in that great, almost like fictional character way, he has decided to direct it towards a creativity, a creative outlet. And so he writes and directs movies where he gets to hurt people. And the people who watch it get hurt as well. And it's just everyone makes money and he gets to torment. It's win-win all around. And I'm not looking forward to it. I can't wait for it.
Oh, I am absolutely looking forward just because of one specific thing that he said during the announcement. Now, if you remember way back during our Rise of Skywalker review, where toward the end, I specifically said the one thing I want more than anything is tell me a good story.
Yeah.
And Gunn did specifically say, storytelling will be king.
Yes, and it... Like,
oh, thank God.
It's not like someone just saying it, because you can see it through all of his work.
Yeah,
even going as far afield as Lollipop Chainsaw, or I believe it's called Lollipop Chainsaw.
It was a video game.
He co-created that with a Japanese game producer who is well known for being out there. I can't remember his name. I apologize entirely. But, like, it's always crazy fucking shit. And so this was a match made in heaven. And I played that game. I got it on release day. And it was just balls to the wall, hilarious insanity. No replay value whatsoever. None. About 6 hours of a game. But... so fun, and it's just, oh my God, James Gunn is, I'm so happy that they chose James Gunn. It's not just like fan casting, because he's the guy with the correct vision for how to do something a little more daring, but not dark, brooding, and dull. Like, you can't say that none of his stuff is not, like, super violent. But he understands its use. It's not gratuitous. Every bit of it has a specific intention and inclination that plays often to either like a humor beat or a grander emotional beat. And it's not just, oh, look how cool that is.
Yeah, and as you say, like, you're so thrilled that they chose James Gunn. I am thrilled that they chose Peter Safran. And I know that sounds strange, but just let me lay this out here. Now, so much of the DCEU felt like everything was planned out in with strictly a business logic.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was nothing more than what superhero thing can we put out to capitalize on what's popular right now?
Yeah, what market can we tap?
Yeah, exactly. And just the fact that you have Peter Safran handling the business side and James Gunn having, like, full control of the creative side is just, again, oh, thank God.
Yes. Quality, and I think it was Movie Bob who said, like, you know, the guy... They're creative equals. They're partners on this. They are equally steering the ship, but the guy essentially is the fall man for everything that already they're being criticized for, or the next problems that they have coming up. Like, inevitably something will happen. It's just the way that, like, time and business and entropy occur. And he's the guy who goes out and bad cops, and James Gunn comes in and good cops. James Gunn will always be the positive face, because they're trying to create a rough equivalent to Kevin Feige, if not something closer to Stan Lee. You always want it to be closer to Stan Lee, like untouchable-ish. There's things to be read about that. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And but, if nothing else, I've seen Stan Lee's attempt at creating DC's most popular characters, and
I have some of those. Yeah. Yeah, no, they are they're interesting. Some of them more so than others.
Yeah.
But one gets to be happy parent, and the other one gets to be disappointing parent, and it's just really smart to immediately break that up when you have to explain away something like why the Batgirl movie was canceled. And like,
yeah,
this is one of those questions that of course they're going to be asked. It's, you know, they're the new people coming in, but they've been briefed on all of this, and they probably would have been included in decisions on some level as to its cancellation. And so new person that you can ask a question to, you'll get a slightly different answer, if not a wildly different answer, if not, holy shit, it's the truth. Bomb! No, you get kind of like confirmation, seemingly, either that or everyone is perfectly towing this line, that unfortunately Batgirl was unreleasable. And it's like, they don't have James Gunn saying that. No, that's not his job. No, that was Safran. Yeah. There's one who pluses, who gives, and there's one who takes. The good hand, the bad hand. And it's just, that's really smart. That's really smart. To misdirect any anger away from James Gunn, who already is, in ways, a controversial figure. If, clickbaiting dickhead.
And let's be honest, if they're trying to direct anger away from James Gunn, he's on Twitter pulling at least some of it right back.
I mean, you know, James Gunn's gone to James Gunn, and...
Oh yeah, no, I do not blame him.
Nothing you can
him.
Do about that. You know, he's gonna have more fun now than anyone has had running a studio in a very long time. Like, not that I don't think Kevin Feige hasn't had fun, but I think he's been very smart and responsible. James Gunn gets to kind of like, you know, ride it around the office a little bit. This is going to be entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Feige was like, yeah, I'm happy for James Gunn and all of his upcoming success. I can't wait to see what he does. But here's what he's doing for us first.
Yeah. And it's really smart to position it that way as like...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's free publicity. It's fantastic that instead of being two companies and two producers against each other, they honestly can play to their different strengths with a full understanding and respect of each other, because they're literally, it's like you were creative partners and you didn't break apart. Like there wasn't a fight. I mean, yeah, all right, he was fired the first time, but they rehired him and gave him everything he wanted. So you get the general feeling that like, this is going to play so well. If you want quips and lighthearted, semi-serious, referential-based dramedies, go to Marvel. If you want something that is a little more risque, possibly adult, and who knows, possibly on a grander scale, we'll get into that, by all means, go to DC. And it's lovely. The potential here for the back and forth instead of the, I want to say the never ending crashing waves of Marvel against the sandstone that is DC, just fucking like a shoreline falling apart meter by meter every day.
Oh no! If anything, Marvel was a tidal wave, and the DCEU was that still wet sandcastle that you have just finished completing, and it's going to be washed away in like 90 seconds.
It was a sandcastle that some kid came across that some other kid had been working on, and they tried to keep building it, and then it got hit. But the entire time, it was actually like getting hit by the minor waves, and then the one big fucking one hit it.
Whereas now, the nice thing is that it kind of seems like what we're gonna get with James Gunn in charge, like between him and Kevin Feige, it seems like it's going to be the same like respectable competition that we've had with actual Marvel and DC Comics for years.
Yay, it's a return to the golf course politics of comic books. I love that shit. Do you know what that brought us? Like, this is the greatest era of comic books ever, because the fact that the executives of these two comic book companies played golf with each other, we ended up with the Doom Patrol and the X-Men at the same time.
Yep.
And we ended up with apes. Apes aplenty. Apes on covers. apes. Motherfucking apes. Everywhere. Apes. An entire decade of apes. It's the greatest creative, like, fucking salon ever. Apes!
Look, James Gunn, on the 1 in a billion chance you're actually listening to this, remember, you do have Matt Reeves on speed dial. I just feel like that needs to be pointed out.
Alright, so, what is the slate that has been laid out? What is this delightful smorgasbord of options that will reignite our enjoyment of these characters, and so that maybe the next time we see yet another Batman property, we don't go and have to be impressed. No offense to Matt Reeve, but the first time I heard about it, I went,
I mean, that's not unreasonable.
Yeah. Upon seeing it, loved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what for Joker 2?
Yeah, that's kind of one of those. Joker 2 is that I need to see the trailer because I might check it out just out of curiosity, but I'm not going, for the love of God, I need this.
Yeah, great. Pretentious incel. Yay.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I can't wait. Luckily, it is an Elseworlds, which is one concept that James Gunn has explained to the masses. No longer is it just lore for DC nerds from crisis to crisis. The Elseworld lives! Thank God. It was so easy in the 80s and 90s to tell what the fuck was real and what wasn't. Was it an Elseworld? That's not real. Okay, what happens to that world? Who cares? It's an Elseworld. You're not going to see it again. Good point. And then we moved on with our lives. It was a simpler time. And I love that they've just gone like, no, this is super obvious. This is super, super obvious. They're Elseworlds. Oh, so we're not going to have to sit around wondering when they're going to appear on, like, CW's The Flash? No. No, it's just not going to happen. Okay, thank you. You have just killed so much needless bickering content. Thank you. Save us from ourselves.
To be perfectly honest, him bringing in the Elseworlds is actually something that does concern me. Because, quite simply, it's giving the Snyder cult hope.
No, because Flashpoint is going to... I mean, I know it's called The Flash now, but it's a Flashpoint. Is going to completely rewrite the universe. So, while it happened, it's a crisis. It's a crisis. While it happened, it doesn't matter anymore. That's not the status quo. So, at the moment, sure. But soon, soon, soon.
Oh no, like it's a case of, you know that and I know that. But one of the things that the cult is screaming right now is, okay, fine, you can go off and have your little DCU. Just finish the Snyderverse as an Elseworlds. Let us have it. Like, okay, no. But it's why I think this should have been a full, total, everything gone reboot. Because I don't want anything left that gives them something to hold on to.
And I understand why it's not. He's been brought in at a time when there's stuff still on the slate to be released. It's already been filmed. It's in post-production, or it's near the end of post-production. And it's just a matter of, like, we don't want to release these and essentially have the messaging be, it's our garbage. Hey, you want to go through our stuff? None of this matters. Or else people aren't going to come watch it, you know? So I think it's smart that they're approaching this as a soft reboot. It's a completely aware and predicted continuity reboot where it's like, you know, going in what's happening. There's no surprise. There's no, oh my God, what's going to happen? It's all been laid out. It's rather convenient, and it's a good way to approach it considering how often DC goes to that well and thus will again. And so it's like, explain it, get it out of the way, and apply it to this. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. For me, it's, I think that they should have done it this way.
Yeah.
But I understand why they're doing it that way. It's just that we're still stuck with the Snyder cult being all...
To be fair, I do believe they would still be like that regardless of what was announced. If DC, Warner Brothers said that they're not doing live action for a decade, they're just gonna, like, you know, this isn't for us, we're going to take all that money and we're going to invest it into animation, which has traditionally worked for us, and announced a slate of Bruce Timm style cartoon movies and new series and specials that would be aired on, you know, HBO Max or whatever, the cult would still be crying, and possibly even more so, because it's like, it's cheaper, you know, like, they would always be crying. If they decide to cancel all of this shit, they would be crying to DC comic books to do an Injustice style run. It's just, this is who they are. It's like the common cold. We just now live with it. And it's no longer a valid excuse to call in to work sick.
Oh, yeah, no, they would totally be like that. We just don't need to be fair to them.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. But I see it as a win, because it allows you to easily cut things off, such as you know, a lot of the Snyder stuff. The Snyder stuff specifically isn't going to be Elseworlds. It's going to be past continuity. So it's like, it's rewritten. It was there, it's not. It doesn't ever come back. But you can definitely play around with it. Don't read the comic books at the moment. They're a little confused about that themselves. Jeff Johns is being a bitch. What else is new?
Fair enough.
Yeah, but... And that's tied to this as well, because he was going to be one of the creative visions of the DCEU going forward. And when that collapsed, it got taken away from him, so... He's a little salty towards WB entirely, but he can still get a lot of money from them.
Well, so. And I mean, at this point, in his defense, who isn't a little salty toward the WB?
I mean, we all have our reasons. We all have our reasons, except for Ezra Miller. They are so lucky. Anyway,
that's a whole other thing.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the list, the subject, the list, the slate. What movies and TV shows, very specifically in the style of Peacemaker, can we look forward to rolling out?
After the remains of the Snyderverse are released, we're getting, so far the slate is the first half or so of DCU Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters. Side note to the Snyder Cult members, this is only half of the planned slate, not the full slate. So stop comparing it to what the Snyderverse first announced.
Especially and since a lot of that never happened. It never happened.
Yep.
A lot of that never happened.
At least half of this slate has not already been canceled.
Ooh.
And we're starting with, I'm getting my list from discussingfilm.net just because they had the whole thing like conveniently laid out. But at this point, you can find this like anywhere.
Yeah.
So the first film will be Superman Legacy. The start of the DCU, but not an origin story for Superman. Thank God. The film will follow the younger days of Clark Kent as he balances his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing. James Gunn is writing the script for Superman Legacy, and Peter Safford is hoping Gunn will direct too. That's that as well as anything not writing related has yet to be officially decided. Now, as a side note, there is a separate Superman movie produced by J.J. Abrams and written by Ta-Nehisi Coates. That's apparently still in development and will go under the Elseworlds banner on the, at this point, let's be honest, 1 in a billion chance that it actually happens.
Yeah, I thought that one had been canceled a while ago. That's a leftover, I think, from almost 5 years ago. It's one of the Black Superman films.
I was just gonna say it's that film where the Walter Hamada administration had this almost tradition where every few years they would announce a Black Superman movie just to keep it like in the media.
Yeah.
And that's what the Abrams one is.
Well, I hope it comes out, but I completely understand if they, you know, like if it just kind of peters out because they want to just stay like on course with this brand new one, because whoever they bring in is of course going to be incredibly criticized and never accepted by a certain geek dickhead. Again, I trust, you know, James Gunn's casting. It's always good. And the title that he dropped to associate and to familiarize for the audience concerning Superman Legacy was the amazing, again, Grant Morrison and Frank Quietly, Superman All-Star, or All-Star Superman, which is one of the absolute best Superman stories if you want to very quickly explain Superman as a concept of good and hope. And it's one of those things of, it's not a Superman who is young. It's a Superman technically at the end of his career. Spoiler alert, it's about the last days of Superman as he is dying. He didn't get beaten to death or stabbed in a fight. It was a nefarious plan by Lex Luthor to poison him with a solar poisoning, essentially. He overexposed him until his cells started erupting. And it's a really smart move. It's a baller Lex Luthor move of like, all right, Superman, then your weakness is probably in your strength. Fuck you entirely. And it's really, really good, but it's that it informs Superman Legacy, which apparently takes place in the younger days of Superman, is really curious. And I wonder if the entire film will take place in the younger days, or if to jumpstart various things later in the slate and later in the second part, yet to be announced possibly, I wonder if half of the film, kind of like Godfather 2, takes place in the quote-unquote present, whereas the other takes place in the past. And it's about a young Superman learning lessons and then an older Superman teaching it, the same lessons, to John Kent, Superboy. And so the legacy...
That actually, considering what they're doing with another film that we're going to get to a little later on, that I think that theory does kind of hold water.
Right. It you can jumpstart. You can have essentially two movies in one, and you can move forward on world building on a more aggressive level that has a built-in foundation, just by relying on what already is there, smartly.
Exactly. Now to move on, Superman Legacy. Now, this is actually one of only two films in the entire slate that currently have release dates. Gunn did specifically say that he's not going to hamstring his creators by giving them a release date before anything on the film has even been started, which, yeah, again, smart. Thank God.
Yeah.
But this will be coming out July 11th of 2025.
Which again suggests that he's the primary creative on it. He'll likely direct it. Because if he's giving a harder date, then it's probably, no, this is when I intend on achieving that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also just the simple fact that he's taking his time to, I would assume, get it right, which, once again, thank God.
So far away, so worth it, hopefully.
Next up will be, and this is one that I'm personally looking forward to because, as I've said before, I get a little more excited for the comic book properties that I'm not familiar with. The second film in the DCU will be the cinematic introduction of The Authority. A team of superheroes with a less than idealistic approach to saving the world. The wording is discussing films, the air quotes are mine. The team was first introduced under the Wildstorm imprint at DC Comics in 1999 by Warren Ellis and Brian Hitch, and was later folded into the main DC universe during the New 52 initiative in 2011. The team is mainly composed of characters from Ellis's other team, Stormwatch. The Authority will explore the gray morality of crime fighting when questionable heroes take matters into their own hands. The film is currently being written by a mystery writer, and I don't know why the fact that they specified mystery writer is funny to me, but here we are.
Yeah, and there's so many reasons why it could be. I swear to God, if Warren Ellis is touching this, that's complicated, but also might really work out. It's complicated. Yeah. He's a dickhead, and I know that from personal experience trying to get his autograph once. Guy's a dickhead. Anyway, The Authority is one that I never expected to see there. Like, to really show you how off the leash, potentially, James Gunn is in his creative options here. The idea of giving The Authority a big Hollywood movie is almost offensive to the level of The Authority would come out of the comic book and beat him to death. That's The Authority. I love The Authority. I've read all of The Authority. I fucking hate Wildstorm. It's just like the epitome of everything wrong. But this beautiful blossom of violence and cynicism called The Authority came out of it. And I adore The Authority. And when I heard that they're doing an Authority movie and I got over my like brain freeze, like shock of there's an Authority movie? There's an authority movie. There's another. Anyway, like I immediately went, okay. Let's think about this logically. They're going to do a watered down version of it, like the DC tried to do with the Stormwatch comic book that was led by Martian Manhunter in the. Was the new 52. I've almost purged it from my memory. I'm so close. Damn it.
Yeah.
They'll probably do a weak sauce version of that, or they'll do the Elite, which is the DC pastiche version from which we get Manchester Black. And you know, they originally fought Superman, and so okay, you know, in a single issue called "What's So Funny About Truth, Justice, and the American yeah. Way," which is a brilliant Superman story where the Elite, this parody of the authority being essentially a '90s cynical response to Superman. And essentially all of this being just Kingdom Come. If you've read Kingdom Come, then you understand Superman versus the Elite. It's Magog versus Superman. And Kingdom Come would have been a great film for Zack Snyder to have done, by the way. Like, I stand by that. But if frankly, he wanted to touch any of this, he should have just made Kingdom Come fucking, again, like the style of 300, panel by panel. Just follow the goddamn book.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's another thing. but I was expecting weak sauce or Superman versus the Elite, and that'll turn into Superman and the Authority, which is another great comic book, in which Superman essentially turns creates the Authority. And it's sort of DC's Grant Morrison again, Grant Morrison's version of the Ultimates, but with Superman and using a team that is diametrically opposed to him, technically. Or they're going to do The Wildstorm, which is the most recent version, which I really enjoyed, but a lot of people were critical of. It was kind of a stripped down, more straightforward, realistic version, as if pitching a TV show. But no, James Gunn goes, it's going to be based on the Warren Ellis, you know, the original volumes, the original two volumes. And it's, my brain broke a little, because that shit is craze. I can't fucking wait. He's going to go full James Gunn balls out with the original Authority, who, how to put this? One time, Midnighter fucked Captain America in the ass with a jackhammer. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That happened.
It's disturbing that I am now more intrigued for this movie.
This team, this version of the team, killed God. That's outright. They killed God.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, so this is going to be really interesting. And I still think that they're going to find a way to tie in What's So Funny and Superman the Authority in some fashion. But knowing James Gunn, it's not going to be one for one, and it's not going to be bad cheesy. It might lampshade its cheesiness, but it's going to earn any emotional payoff. And if it doesn't have anything to do with each other, possibly all the better. I am terrified. I'm terrified and aroused.
Yeah, and also I think you're probably right there, just because of the simple fact that where the DCEU, it was all about just getting to the Justice League as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Gunn's plan seems to be more geared toward just building a world. So you like you could very well have a scenario of like you said, Superman and the Authority. Like maybe they're like the first team that Superman joins, and then eventually he's like, yeah, this is wrong in every way imaginable. And then at some point down the line, maybe that's how the Justice League starts or something.
I think that based on the ages that we're going to have for certain other characters, it's actually going to be approached like, no, the Justice League has been a thing. And say he's trying to apply it himself because, of course, he wasn't there for the founding of it. And seemingly that so far is still the origin of the Justice League in these movies so far. He wasn't technically a part of the founding. He joined after. They were founded after he was dead. He was busy being dead.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, and so maybe you know, like this Superman goes on to try to create his own team. I think it's better to just have the Justice League be a thing already, and like at any time you can pull them together or a few aspects of them together, and just. People know who the Justice League are. You don't have to introduce the concept.
Yeah.
Just have them existing, and then we don't have to retread, and you don't have to restart a bunch of things. And it allows for something that is later in this list to occur in a wider and richer world without the timescales getting just so stupid. So stupid.
Oh, yeah, totally fair. Like, my logic is stemming more from just the fact that there has been no mention of the Justice League in these announcements at all.
And I think that's intentional so that, like...
Oh, no doubt.
Well, first of all, yeah, so that people don't, like, focus on it. But the stories that they're telling are going to be a slow burn towards something, and the Justice League is a crisis response, kind of like the Avengers. And having the delay makes the crisis even bigger, particularly since it's DC, it might be capital C crisis. And so that'll make the inevitable return of the full-scale Justice League, and it'll be a mighty Justice League. We're talking like pre-crisis membership levels, I am sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be glorious and so worth it. Fucking seven members? What are you, on a budget? We got the entire Legion. The entire Legion. That's like 3,000 motherfuckers. I don't know.
Oh, you know, like, I'm just looking at the Authority and going, maybe there's like a first step there.
I don't think you don't first step with the Authority, because the Authority are a narrative criticism of the presumptions and applications of power, authority, justice, and freedom when it comes to superpowers. You, as was the folly of Zack Snyder, you can't lead with a deconstruction. You have to have your prime core example. You have to have your control subject in your test, so that everyone understands what the basics are, so that you can then deconstruct. If you just start with deconstruction, you end up, well, you end up with collapse, because there's nothing else under it. There's nothing underpinning it that once the deconstruction is done, you can reconstruct based on. So you don't lead with the Authority. Authority are a reaction.
Yeah. Oh, no, fair enough. And I mean, I would be the first to tell you that, like I said, the Authority is a property that I don't know. So,
I will
admit my logic is flimsy.
Reading the Authority, especially the books that this is based on, reading them now is definitely one of those things of like, well, keep in mind that it was the early 2000s, conceived in the late 90s. It was quote unquote edgy then, and it is quote unquote, oh my God, offensive now. So watch out.
Yeah. But moving on, and so like I said, the authority is release date wise is going to be the three letters that I'm going to be saying an awful lot for the rest of this episode, TBA.
Yay.
Now, I had mentioned earlier another film that could potentially tie to your John Kent theory. Mm-hmm. And that is, of course, The Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
Which will end. This is the start of the part where I get a little bit leery. The Brave and the Bold will introduce the Bat family to the DCU. The film will focus on Batman's relationship with Robin, who will be the fifth incarnation of the character, Damian Wayne, instead of Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, and so forth. This will feature a new iteration of Batman, entirely separate from Robert Pattinson and Ben Affleck's take on the character. And as much as I enjoyed Robert Pattinson's take on the character, good.
Yeah, I want that to be a separate thing, because I want to see that journey. This, yeah. I am elated that we're going to dive in into an already fully constructed one. And our introduction character, the character that the narrative is likely going to follow, is Damian. Sweet, sweet Damian. Oh, my precious dark angel. Oh, I love Damian. And I love how much he hates everyone else. Shut up, Drake!
Well, you are not the only one. James Gunn and Peter Safran say that Damian Wayne is their favorite version of Robin, calling him an assassin and a little son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Brave and the Bold is said to be heavily inspired by Grant Morrison's prolific comic run on the Caped Crusader, as well as Tom King's, focusing on Bruce and Damian's father-son dynamics. And that will lead into the next film that we're going to discuss shortly. The only real concern that I have here is how much setup is Damian Wayne going to need? Because if you're bringing in Damian Wayne, you're also bringing in like the League of Shadows and so forth.
Yeah, but people have already seen the League of Shadows. They, you know, people are familiar with the League of Shadows / League of Assassins from the three really big Batman movies from about 15 years ago. The truth is, you can definitely rely on people's material memory of not only those movies, but at this point, since the audience has grown up, the Batman animated show and the Arkham Asylum video games. We're talking hundreds of millions of viewers. You don't need to explain anything. You can just be like, hey, you remember how Batman used to like want to smash Ra's al Ghul's daughter? Well, they did once. Hmm. And there was a kid. So, you know, half ninja assassin, half Batman, all very broody. Very broody.
Oh, yeah, no, and I have no doubt that they'll do a fine job introducing him. I have no doubt of that. I'm just curious how much they would feel that they would need in order to do that.
I don't think you need much. I think it's very straightforward if you play it as... So strip these... You got... All right, so James Gunn understands a really important thing about storytelling. And it's... Sometimes you just gotta strip characters down, no matter how ridiculous they are, to essentially their 1980s comedy movie... Like, you know, heartfelt comedy characteristics. And this movie is a child who has been raised with his mother goes to live with his father. That's it. And you don't need the rest of the context that DC fans pay attention to that are built into the canon. You can add that as fun details later on. The core dynamic is so universal that you might not even need dialogue if you film it right.
Oh yeah, very true. Like, I think maybe it's more when I say concern, it's concern in a I'm curious how you're gonna do this kind of way.
Okay. Yeah. It's gonna be real interesting. Yeah. And I hope they deep end people. I hope it, yeah, it's just, and that's spoiler. Who? That's spoiler. And that's Batgirl. What's happened with her face? Oh, don't worry about that. It's a mask. And that's Batgirl. Why is she in a chair? Oh, don't worry about that. It was the Joker. You know, it's just, I go down the whole fucking line. I want everyone to be present in their current forms and just have it be, listen, if you haven't read the comics, played the video games, seen the movies, or watched the cartoon, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not holding your hand anymore.
No.
That's all I want. No. Is just, and it was the approach that they had for Peacemaker and Suicide Squad. It's just, yeah, I'm not holding your hand anymore. If you're not ready for, you know, the Butterfly Invasion Force or Starro the Conqueror, then maybe this just isn't for you.
Oh, yeah, no, if you're not down by the time they get to Starro of all things, which, again, James Gunn, thank you for Starro, because...
like, from the hints and, like, the close-up appearances of the eye and whatever things, you're like, okay, okay. But that moment when Starro just rips out of the castle and pauses for a minute and the name... The title goes up, Starro the Conqueror. And it's just, it has been 70 fucking years.
Yeah, yeah.
Since he was the debut villain. Like, he used to be the shit, and it was so silly. It was so goddamn silly back in the day. And finally, there he is on the big screen. My boy, Starro!
Oh, man. Yeah, and like with Brave and the Bold, there could be a lot to build, but at the same time, there's so much that you can build off just from this movie.
Yeah, yeah, and they're going to, I believe, hit the ground running because there's no reason not to. They've learned that you can be as absurd, ridiculous, and forward facing with these things as you want, and audiences. Yeah, sometimes they'll laugh, but hey, if you made a joke, isn't that what you want? Just be smart about the content. It's not hard.
Yeah, I mean, as you were talking about earlier, like, you could take this and go off to the side and, like, here's a John Kent, Damian Wayne movie. Mm-hmm. Now you've got something to bring the kids in. Yeah.
Yeah. Easy, and, you know, don't make the mistake that DC Comics did and decide to just age one of the characters completely out of the other. You know, like, Damien's still running around a fucking kid and John's off having, you know, galactic fucking adventures as a 21, 23-year-old. Anyway, he's kissing all the boys. He's kissing all the boys. Out of control.
Yeah, also, if you want a lot of free publicity from Fox News, you bring in John Kent and you bring him in immediately.
I believe he's getting the electric powers next. And yes, yes. Next, make him blue and red. Next, blue and red. Then Bizarro, blue and red. Oh, give him his own cyborg Superman. Yes. with like, but totally reversed. This one only has a little bit of a metallic eye and the rest is Superboy. And it's so it's the exact reverse of Cyborg Superman. I'm Hen Hankshaw. Fuck you.
Our next project is Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
Which is damn, like talking about hitting the ground running, this, to be so specific, and they're even using the logo of the very exact Tom King miniseries run of DC, and oh my god, if they're going to just start pulling from the miniseries runs that DC has been knocking out of the park the last few years, I'm going to cry when we reach Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, because it's going to be beautiful. But so far, Tom King, cool. Supergirl is a, this is a very specific run of Supergirl that is closer to the old style pulps of like John Carter, you know, Princess of Mars and shit like that, where she is out adventuring off in the universe somewhere. And it's told from the perspective of a woman that she saved and who's kind of like semi-fallen in love with her. She's kind of like Xena's partner, Gabriel.
Gabrielle.
Yeah. So like for the first, I want to say 6 seasons of Xena, when it's like they're not really gay for each other, but you're on the verge of that next season when they're gay for each other. That's the zone that a lot of this comic book takes place in. Anyway, it is amazing high concept sci-fi. And I love the idea that, again, with the knowledge that hundreds of millions of people have watched Supergirl every week on television, you don't need to reintroduce the character from, you know, square one. You already have this common knowledge, so you can go and just put her in a fun adventure somewhere or a serious adventure somewhere like that one. And it's going to be amazing if they tie it really close to the comics. It's going to be amazing if they decide to do something else. There's only one question, though. Is the Supergirl that is going to appear in The Flash going to be that Supergirl?
Just to stay with the casting, but kind of go back to something you mentioned about 30 seconds ago. To those hundreds of millions, and particularly those who saw Supergirl on TV, stop calling for Melissa Benoist to be cast in this movie. I enjoyed her just as much as you did. It's not going to happen. Stop trying to bring the CW characters into this. God damn it.
Yeah, we're going to work with the CW in the sense of, you know, it's been over a decade's worth of content out there, like hundreds and hundreds of hours, and people have watched and watched and watched, like hundreds of millions of people have watched. These are very successful. And so they're going to rely on the fact that the CW shows were able to push so many boundaries and introduce so many characters. And like, if you watch Stargirl, you know how far the CW has gone in introducing ridiculous characters completely seriously and just like assuming like, no, you know who this is now. I don't need to explain. And so I think, no, we're not going to have them appear like, again, they did on the CW Crisis. That's been done. It's been done, and these people are now older. We're going to get something new, and we're going to get something that is in a really specific creative direction away from that kind of cheese into a higher art of humor tied to almost like an older version of drama where comedy was intrinsic to it because it made the pathos even fucking worse.
And frankly, as I think I said before, if you're bringing in the CW actors, that I think creates audience confusion in that I can see people going, oh, well, this must be a continuation of the CW shows. And no.
Yeah, you specifically want to completely restart a bunch of things. And that's what Flash is going to do. It's going to just be a hard, like, nope, here's the new stuff. Here's the new. Go away.
Yeah.
Go away. And I rather like that they'll have that ability to just go, anything might happen. Anything. We'll cast anyone we want. Except John Cena is going to be Peacemaker. And Jason Momoa is going to be Aquaman and possibly Lobo. And Zachary Levi might be out of a job. We'll see.
Right now, anyway, despite what the Snyder cult keeps insisting about James Gunn and his favorite actors, none of what you just said is official?
No, but it's leaned
into. Could it still happen?
Yeah.
Could it still happen? Absolutely.
Yeah.
The only thing that Gunn has said is that he's keeping the door open, which means he's being diplomatic, as any smart director would.
Yeah. That said, Aquaman 2 comes out after Flash.
In that case, for some reason I was thinking Aquaman 2 was before, but you're right. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, well, exactly. Is Gal Gadot attached to this? Who knows?
Yeah.
No one has any idea.
Speaking of actresses whose fate we have no idea, and to answer your other question from earlier, whether or not Supergirl in Woman of Tomorrow will still be played by Sasha Calle, really the only answer anybody can give right now is, oh.
Indeed.
I hope it is. Next up is... If there was one property James Gunn was going to bring in, I've got to figure that it was this one, and that is Swamp Thing.
Yeah, that's just a smart move, considering how well the one season that ran on HBO went, and then was canceled for completely unrelated reasons.
It was canceled basically because someone in the accounting department fucked up.
Dicks.
It was... I think it was something to do with tax law in Louisiana that they didn't realize until well after they started filming. So each episode was suddenly far more expensive than they planned on it being.
Okay, well, that's unfortunate because it was quite good. But yeah. The fact that that had enough momentum to lead to this is quite good. There's only a few Swamp Thing stories to be told. Alan Moore kind of nailed it on that one. And it's going to be a retread, I bet, of that one season for sure, with more elements. But I look forward to seeing that finally done in its full, proper glory. Finally. Finally.
And, I mean, frankly, with Swamp Thing and his connection to the Green, if nothing else, when they call this Gods and Monsters, he's kind of both.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really fun looking at the theme and how it connects to elements of it, because it's not the heavy-handed... You know, theming of Zack Snyder, you know, and his the devils are the ones who come from above. No, it's going to be like really well crafted personality based drama, and Swamp Thing is exactly that. Swamp Thing's probably the core of the approach, honestly, because that's it. He's a swamp that believes he's a swamp monster who believes he's a man. That's it. Or maybe he's a man who has become a swamp. Depends on the writer. Maybe he's something else. Yeah, maybe he is a spiritual entity who has become incorporealized and personified. We don't know yet, but there's so many ways to go with it and then tell the one story. Swamp Thing is best known for. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Big budget, finally. Hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this may be a case of he gets the one film and then just keeps showing up in other films in a kind of a Hulk-esque supporting role.
Yeah, it's the best way to do them. You know,
yeah.
Again, one story, more or less. There's arcs and stuff, but it all kind of leads in one direction, more or less. And so it'd be better to have that drawn out maybe over appearances in other stories, or just have him be like reach by the end of his movie, he's a guardian of the green, and therefore he has to pop up in others defending the green. Simple. It's what he does in comics. Yeah.
Finally, on the cinematic front, is we're back under the Elseworlds banner with The Batman Part 2, which we're getting the sequel, thank God. Matt Reeves is coming back, thank God. He's apparently currently writing the script with a release date of October 3rd, 2025. And based on the first film, dude, take your damn time.
Yeah, and I suspect that was more just announced. Like, it's not part of the slate. It was more just announced so that people could, you know, would not ask about it. It's one of those things where you have to announce it or else people will assume that it's canceled. Simple. And yeah, looking forward to it. There's nothing to say really about it. Maybe the Joker will be in it. You know, maybe he won't be in it. I don't know. Matt Reeves only knows for sure. Well, that's I can't wait to see all of those in cinema. And of course, there's elements interweaved and interwoven into all of that throughout in the timeline that are going to be on television, on HBO Max, on Crave in Canada. To give those their full due and respect, and I'm going to go yep, 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 yep over a bunch of them, we're going to do that in a part two. So this was the cinematic universe. There will be the televised universe, and that'll come out soon at some goddamn point.
Well, we'd at least be recording next week, so 2 weeks-ish?
Yeah, so look for that in 2 weeks-ish. We might even have some more details by then. But until then, if you want to get in touch with us with some hot gossip about the newest layout of the DCU, if you want to bitch, and send us your pitch, send that to...
you can send that to realgeeksHFX@gmail.com. We're open-minded enough that even if you're a part of the Snyder cult, you are also free to email us. We're probably going to mock you, but you're free to email us. You can also reach us on Twitter at RealGeeksHFX. I can be found at The Maritime Lord on Twitter, Instagram, Hive, and TikTok, now that I think they've finally stopped suppressing my content. Or I can be reached directly over email at themaritimelord@gmail.com.
And I can be found on Twitter at Friday in Halifax and Crash and Burn. Everywhere else I joined, was it Spoutable? Yeah, I joined that, so I'm on that now. I haven't been able to get on it because, you know, Spoutable. Great servers.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the new Twitter. Maybe it's the new Mastodon. Maybe it's the new Hive. I don't know anymore. I feel like I have a dozen heads. It's fantastic. I don't know what's happening anymore. The future is wow.
Yeah.
But until next time, get the fuck out.
All praise to James Gunn.
All praise to James Gunn.